Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of other anti-nausea medications found under the gastrointestinal section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 45-year-old woman with a history of metastatic sarcoma presents to the Infusion Center for Chemotherapy Infusion. She has experienced nausea and vomiting in the past with each infusion, which did not improve with ondansetron. Today, she is told that she can try another medication, a aprepitant, which has worked for some patients who could not tolerate ondansetron. This could be given intravenously or by pill. She opts for the intravenous option as her nausea is often debilitating. Let's continue with an introduction to other anti-nausea medications. Specific drugs include scopolamine, aprepitant, dimenhydrinate, meclizine, and promethazine. Now let's discuss some of these antiemetics in more detail. Scopolamine has a mechanism of action where it is a muscarinic antagonist in the central nervous system. Clinically, it is used for motion sickness. Adverse effects include dry mouth, drowsiness, dizziness, and blurry vision. Aprepitant is a substance P antagonist, and it blocks neurokinin 1 receptors in the central nervous system. It is used as an antiemetic in the setting of chemotherapy. Adverse effects include induction of CYP3A4, headaches, and constipation. Other antihistamines include dimenhydrinate, which is a first-generation antihistamine, promethamine, which is also an antihistamine but also has dopamine receptor antagonism, and meclizine, which has antihistamine properties and also has mild anticholinergic effects. Clinically, they are used for motion sickness, nausea, and vomiting. Adverse effects include drowsiness, anticholinergic effects, acute glaucoma, dry mouth, and extrapyramidal symptoms, in particular with promethazine. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to other anti-nausea medications, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 5-year-old boy is brought to the ED with a fever and altered mental status. The boy was in his normal state of health until a few hours ago, when he began to not feel good while on a deep-sea fishing trip as part of his family vacation. By the time the family made it back to shore, the boy was experiencing blurred vision and confusion. In the ED, his vitals are a temperature of 101.6 degrees Fahrenheit, heart rate of 160, respiratory rate of 18, and oxygen saturation of 99% on room air. On exam, his skin is dry and flushed, and his abdomen is covered in small round stickers. What gastrointestinal and urinary symptoms would you expect in this patient? And the answer choices are: choice 1, incontinence of stool, urine retention. Choice 2, incontinence of stool and urine. Choice 3, constipation and urine retention. Choice 4, constipation and incontinence of urine. Or choice 5, incontinence of stool, no urinary symptoms. The best answer to this question is choice 3, constipation and urine retention. Fever, blurred vision, confusion, and flushed skin in a patient with transdermal patches on his skin following a boat ride is suggestive of scopolamine overdose. Other antimuscarinic effects include retention of urine and constipation. Scopolamine is a quick-acting muscarinic antagonist delivered via transdermal patches, commonly used for motion sickness and postoperative nausea. Like atropine, scopolamine crosses the blood-brain barrier, and thus it has similar symptoms of overdose. This includes increased body temperature, tachycardia, dry mouth, flushed skin, cycloplegia, confusion, constipation, and urine retention. Treatment is supportive and with feostigmine, an acetylcholinesterase inhibitor that can also cross the blood-brain barrier and acts by increasing the concentration of acetylcholine in the synaptic cleft. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choices 1, 2, 4, and 5. An overdose of scopolamine will inhibit parasympathetic innervation of the gut and bladder, resulting in constipation and urine retention, respectively. That's all for this review about other anti-nausea medications. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets. the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on medbullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.